Amen. Now we'll get to hear from Dr. Norman.
Cut some things out. That means I got a longer time to preach. It's been a long time since I've been behind the pulpit. Somebody asked me how long it had been. And you know what? It took me 5 minutes to decide what it was. 10 years, Jeff, 10 years. Can you believe that? Well, and that means after the interims were over with. I went to a convention one time, and there had several speakers. But this one speaker was one who was to particularly emphasize the attitude of stewardship. And one of his statements in regard to that was this: for their own good, Christians need to be confronted. That's us. At least once a year, with the necessity of making a decision in the sharing of their blessings with their church. I sat behind a person who turned to his neighbor, and he said, "What I hear too often from laity in my church is that, here we go again, talking about money." Yep. Well, it is important. I like what a layman had to say one time. "I shall not mention money. I shall not discuss our financial needs. And every Sunday until we're out of the red, I shall continue not discussing the subject at considerable length." Now, I actually had a pastor like that once. I was a young man in a very large church. And I had a good job. I worked for the GE company in finance offices. I also had a brand new car. And so I was sitting on top of the world until the pastor brought me up sharp in regard to a stewardship sermon. Now, he didn't preach just one stewardship sermon. He preached for 2 months, every Sunday. How do you like that, Jeff? The elders called him in and admonished him. And here's what he said. He says, until the church decides as a congregation to do a stewardship, I'll talk about it all the time. And he did. And you know, that church was in an area that was deteriorating. And it kept that church going a long time before it finally had to close. But I learned stewardship from that minister. I do not remember what all his sermons said, but I do know this. One of the things he harped on was, where your treasure is, there is your heart also. There's three things I want to talk to you about. Not long, but a little. There is a proper attitude toward God, which includes the Christian considering God as the creator of all things. I remember one time reading somewhere, I don't know where I read it or anything, but an artist wanted to buy a house. And he kept looking around to try to find something, and he couldn't find it. Finally something came up. A farmer called him and said that he had a house he thought maybe he might be interested in. So he went out to see what the farm looked like. And he said, you know, I must have a view from the farm if I'm going to buy it. And the farmer wanted to see what the preacher wanted to see what the farmer had to say. And he asked him, he says, do you think you've got a good view? And the farmer said, well, from the front porch, you can see Ed Shed's barn. You know what he missed? He missed the beautiful mountains that God had created. The second thing that I would try to point out is that a proper attitude toward God includes the Christian assuming responsibility for others. I think this kind of involves what I call a trusteeship. Many years ago, when the dollar was a dollar, a man died leaving a small fortune. He had his wife, he never married. He had no children, but he had $25 million. $25 million. Gosh. I don't know what I'm going to do if I had $100,000. But anyway, the children that he did not have took it to court. And the court found in their favor. And they did put up a small monument to him, but nothing like $25 million. The third thing I would want to point out is that there is a proper attitude toward God includes a Christian perspective of material possessions. Placing Placing a value upon money is learned early in life. I learned it a little bit later, but I did learn it. There was a little boy who ran to his mother. And exclaimed to her that the younger brother swallowed a nickel. Now, really, Willie knew, basically, that a nickel had little value. He had to yet understand the value of the coin, of money itself. And that's the way it was with me. I think some Christians, as I look today, place more value upon money than they do people. I spend over a half a century in the ministry, and during that time you come to certain conclusions. You don't really mean to, but you do. And I remember one of the conclusions I had, that when a person came in and we talked to them for a few minutes, you got an impression. I don't know about others, particularly ministers, but I couldn't help but get an impression of what I thought that person was and what that person was going to be if he came into the church. Well, I know that minister did me a favor. He spent a lot of years in the ministry, and he's deceased now. But I think of him often, because he did teach certain lessons which I may have forgotten back in my brain someplace, but which I know I use today because of him and what he said and what he did. Well, I said there were three things that I wanted to talk about quick. There is a proper attitude which includes a Christian perspective of material possessions, not just beyond the things that you can see or that you can use, but there are things beyond that which are possessions which you can use. Some Christians, I think, do place more value upon other things. Well, I know some Christian stewards' material possessions amount to a great deal less than $25 million. Well, I think Jesus was good on short sermons. And one of his short sermons was that you share what you have in life. There was a sermon that I read somewhere, and I don't know where. Don't know where it came from or anything. When you get to be as old as I am, you don't pay much attention to it anymore. But there was a sermon delivered at Yale University by Dr. Brown. And the reason why it caught my attention is because my mother's maiden name was Brown. So I would read the article. And he surmised a stewardship sermon, one of the stewardship servants by saying to him, "What's yours is mine, and I'll take it." A godly person passing by said, "What's mine is my own. I'll keep it." But the Samaritan in the sermon says, "What's mine is yours, and I'll share it." Where is your heart? Where is your heart?